Welcome back, everyone, to part two of that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, the mighty 101.5 FM. Today's show is our second installment of Song versus Song.
All right. Kind of like, remember Mad Magazine, Spy versus Spy?
Yes, I do. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No.
Okay. Well, Jim, our next song was co-written by one of your favorite R&B artists. I know that, of course. And it's the Reverend Al Green. And although we've talked about Al and played his music on prior shows, we've never played Take Me to the River. And this is our next Song versus Song showdown.
Yeah, the song has so many interesting stories behind it. For starters, the song was co-written by Green's then guitarist, how do you pronounce that? Maben Teenie Hodges.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
All right, close enough. Green has said that he was involved with more spiritual aspects of the song, while Hodges contributed the more secular ones.
Yeah, the earthly ones, you know.
Yeah.
And the song reflects the conflict between the spiritual and secular worlds that Al Green was experiencing in the early 70s, and then, of course, he became an ordained reverend, I guess, minister. Well, the song appeared on his album, Explores Your Mind, but it was never released as a single.
And that's when another artist on Al Green's label came into the picture. Green's producer encouraged label mate Sly?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think Syl Johnson,
all right. Well, Syl Johnson recorded as a single. Johnson also had a smooth voice, and in 1975 became Johnson's biggest U.S.
Yeah.
hit.
Yeah, and the cover versions kept on coming. Get this, Foghat recorded it, Brian Ferry recorded it, and others like Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics, Tina Turner, and Bruce Spring all performed it in their live sets. But then a group of New Wave Art School graduates took their turn, and in 1978, the Talking Heads version reached number 26 on the Billboard Hot 100. And at that time, most listeners had no idea that this was a cover song.
You know, and in fact, it was the Talking Heads' only cover song. It's been written that bandleader David Byrne was miffed that a cover song, rather than one of his own, became the band's highest charting single. But the cover gave the band much-needed exposure after the prior single, Psycho Killer, barely broke into the top 100.
Remember that Psycho Killer?
Oh, I liked it. I liked
Talking
Heads.
Yeah, I did too. But here's the best part of the story. Jim, do you remember that lifelike singing toy fish, Big Mouth Billy Bass? It was very popular in the 2000s.
Yeah, it was on The Sopranos, wasn't it, on a couple episodes?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to get to that.
Well, anyway, of course I do. It was pretty tacky, but people around the world loved it. And like, as you said, let's talk about the Soprano scene. Isn't that where Tony used a Billy Bass to beat up someone?
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
So how is this related? How is Billy Bass related to the song?
I'm getting to this.
Oh.
Just relax.
All right.
Put your pants on. One of the songs programmed into this novelty toy was Take Me to the River. And according to Al Green, he and his co-writer made more royalties from that stupid singing fish than any other source.
Can you believe that? Yeah,
yeah.
Life can be stranger than fiction. So let's give a listen to two versions of this great song. First will be Al Green's version, followed by the Talking Heads.
Thank you.
You just heard Take Me to the River back to back. That was Talking Heads. And prior to that was Al Green. And it's a toss-up which one I like better. I think the Talking Heads version is superb. I can't vote against Al Green, so I'm going to call it a tie.
Jim, that's amazing.
Why is that, Karnak?
Because I absolutely agree with you. These two versions on their own are spectacular. You can't go against his version. Listening to these songs with our cans on, it gives you a full appreciation, but I'm with you. It's a tie, man.
All right. Well, folks, just a reminder, you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand, 24/7.
On demand, yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay, Jim, our next song takes us into a musical realm very far removed from Al Green. So in early 1969, the song Dazed and Confused appeared on Led Zeppelin's debut album. The song was credited to guitarist Jimmy Page, but there was far more to the song than most people realized. And Jim, you photographed Led Zeppelin in the 70s, so tell us more.
Well, it all started with Jake Holmes, a young California singer-songwriter who was tapped to be the next Donovan. He wrote and recorded a song titled Dazed and Confused, and it appeared on his 1967 album, The Above Ground Sound of Jake Holmes. That same year, he opened for the Yardbirds, whose lineup included future Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page.
And that's right. The Yardbirds were now running out of gas at this point in time, and they were actually close to breaking up. When they heard Jake Holmes performing Dazed Confused with its haunting descending riff, they felt it could be worked into the perfect Yardbirds song. And the Yardbirds end up performing it live during their final months together and referred to it as I'm Confused.
And following the breakup of the Yardbirds, Jimmy Page formed a new band that was briefly named the New Yardbirds. And the quartet included Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham. And they were soon renamed Led Zeppelin. They did okay, I think. They had a good career.
Yeah, pretty good.
For their debut album, Page took control and mined ideas from his Yardbird days, including the live jam I'm Confused. On Led Zeppelin's debut album, it appears as Dazed and Confused and solely credited to Jimmy Page.
Well, although the Yardbirds and Led Zeppelin versions were musically similar, Page revised the lyrics, and of course he added, you know, there was also the violin that he used to play his guitar on both the Yardbirds and the Led Zeppelin version, and Plant also offered a different take on vocals, so it was a little bit different. It became one of Led Zeppelin's most enduring songs, and they were fast becoming the biggest rock group on the planet. But what about Jake Holmes' version? For example, did Page consciously steal the song, or did he simply borrow a few licks and make it into something different? Or maybe Jake Holmes' version was buried away in his mind and it's kind of bubbled up subconsciously a few years later. Whatever the case, Page has never given a clear answer.
Well, you know, Zeppelin was known for borrowing other people's work on a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most famously Stairway to Heaven and that song by Spirit, if you know that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
Okay. Over the years, Holmes expressed the disappointment, and around 2010, he sued Page. A legal settlement was reached, and that gave Holmes partial credit from that point forward. The song credits would now read by Jimmy Page, inspired by Jake Holmes. Holmes admitted that Page took the song in a different direction, but he felt he deserved some credit.
Yeah, and just to touch on what you started a few seconds ago, it's well known that Led Zeppelin has been in and out of court several times for similar situations, but so have many other artists, and I'm just going to name a few: John Lennon, George Harrison, and Johnny Cash. And the matter of what constitutes a cover or borrowing previously used ideas to create something new is now being settled in the courts, particularly as the financial stakes have grown.
So let's hear parts of Dazed and Confused from three different acts, okay? So we'll start with the Jake Holmes 1967 album version, then a live 68 version of I'm Confused by the Yardbirds with Page on guitar, of course, and then the Led Zeppelin, which is a great version, by the way, from their 1969 debut album called Led Zeppelin.
That's right.
As to where I am at, feel like a mouse and you act like a cat. I'm dazed and confused hanging on by a thread. I'm being abused, I'd be better off dead. I can't stand this tease and I'm starting to crack. You're out to get me, you're on the right track.
Say as it go, I'm being abused and I think I should go. Come on, baby, I'm starting to crack. You're out to get me, you're on the right all of your life. Run, run.
Every day I work so hard, bringing home my heart and pain. Try to love you, baby, but you push me away. Don't know where you're going, only know just where you've been. Sweet little baby, I want you again.
Well,
okay.
Jimmy Page is kicking butt there, but did you listen to John Paul Jones on bass and Bonham on drums there?
I did.
At the end? Oh, my God.
They were like the Who. These guys were made for each other.
They were.
I just want to say, Jim, so give us your choice of song.
Zeppelin, hands down.
Okay. Well, Zeppelin, hands down, but remember, this was in the studio. He pulled so much from the Yardbirds version that they were doing live and working it out. So give the Yardbirds version a lot of credit because it led to the Led Zeppelin version.
Okay, Mark, I'll give them credit.
With that said, okay, and here's a bit of trivia. In 1971, Epic Records released a live bootleg album called Live Yardbirds that had the version everyone just heard. And from what I've read, Page sued Epic Records for releasing this LP. But if you really want it, everyone, you can go on eBay and buy it for about $190. So there. Well, Jim, we're going to close out the show with kind of a sad note. We lost the great jazz pianist and composer Ramsey Lewis recently. So we're going to finish out the show with the song that sort of put jazz on the pop charts. That was The In Crowd. The song was written by Billy Page. It was first performed by Dobie Gray, who does a great version with vocals, lyrics, I should say. And then Ramsey Lewis did a version live at the Bohemian Caverns in Washington, D.C. It peaked at number 5 on the U.S. pop charts, and it was the most successful jazz song on the pop charts. And I'll tell you how it came about. The guys before show were sitting in a coffee shop, and the waitress said, "You got to hear this song on the jukebox." And Ramsey says, "Well, we need to work up another song." So the waitress played Dobie Gray's song on the jukebox, and Ramsey said, "We got to do this song in concert." And that night, they ended up doing the song, and that's what we're going to hear on the show tonight.
Well, I'm excited to play it. And Ramsey Lewis is another Chicagoan. He grew up in the Cabrini Green area, mm-hmm. and he went to Wells High School, and he was the music
jazz director
Ravinia, yeah.
And he did more to bring jazz to people and make it palatable for people than just about any jazz artist. Something like what Wynton Marsalis is now doing with jazz. He's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, a terrific artist, and rest in peace, Ramsey.
Okay.
Well, that's it then for the show today, right? We're going to end up with The In Crowd. We'll be doing more song versus song episodes in the future, okay, Mark?
Okay, and I just love this thing because there's so many great songs with multiple versions and great stories.
That's true. Anyway, that classic rock show can be heard on 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. or Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Or you can listen to a year's worth of our recorded shows anytime by visiting the station's website at huntleyradio.com.
You don't have to listen to them all at one time, though, a year's worth. So
that's true.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone.